In the name of Jesus. Purity. When one is speaking of matters moral, has come in our time to be widely considered as obsolete, an obsolete concept. Perhaps bordering even on ridiculous. Nevertheless, purity is a term used throughout scriptures as being synonymous with the righteousness that avails before God. Purity, a word that appears in today's reading. Create in me a clean heart, O God, the psalmist writes, and we sing in the offertory. He will purify the sons of Levi, the prophet Malachi writes. Let us in these moments consider first our own impurity, what it is and what it isn't, and then this purity, the purity that our Advent Lord brought into the world, what it is and what it isn't. One might puzzle at what Advent might have to do with moral behavior, and yet the Advent texts speak about such things. The New Testament alternate for today's chapel was 1 Thessalonians 4, where the Apostle Paul urges the brethren to please God in their walk, abstaining from sexual immorality, controlling your body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust as do the Gentiles. Likewise, our Malachi 3 reading inveighs against the sorcerers, against adulterers, against those who swear falsely, those who oppress their servants, who oppress the widows and the fatherless. What has all this to do with the advent of our King? The answer must certainly lie in an understanding, yea, a repenting of all the corruption from which the children of men desperately need to be purified. Unregenerate man has no real conception of what that is. The very concept of sin is alien to him, especially in our time, it would seem. He can understand social and political unfairness, and he can understand grievous offenses against the environment and the like, but that cursing and false swearing are sins against God, his Creator, he neither comprehends nor accepts, if indeed he even considers himself to be a creature of God. Certain people, for example, consider eating meat to be immoral, even while condoning every unspeakable perversion in sexual matters, as long as there is mutual consent and no harm done. Real impurity, however, is not the violation of ever-changing man-made rules. It is an inherited condition that came upon all mankind when our first parents disobeyed God. By one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. The condition manifests itself in violations of God's two tables given from Mount Sinai. Violations such as cursing, lying, disobedience, adultery, oppression of the poor. Malachi, St. Paul, and all the other holy writers speak of these things. Impurity is an innate condition in the children of men. It is from that condition that the messenger of the covenant has come to redeem the world. Outward conditions were at a sorry pass in Malachi's time. Let an historian like Josephus give you the details if you wish. Yet it is exactly at this time that God once again speaks words of hope and comfort through the prophet Malachi. A Savior would come. He would send before him his messenger, John the Baptist, to prepare a way for him, even as the way of the Lord is still prepared in the hearts of people through the preaching, the proclamation of the gospel, the holy sacraments. The prophecies of Isaiah and others would be reaffirmed and detail would be added. Christ would purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. What is this purifying, and what is it not? It does not consist of earthly violence, an ethnic cleansing, a zealous rooting out of the ungodly, doing away with the infidel by the edge of the sword. Or preparing by these means for Christ's millennial reign. Misguided reformers, some inside and some outside of the church, have attempted this kind of purifying over the centuries. The purity that avails before God is purity that God himself has created through his meritorious sufferings and death as the only begotten Son of the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ has ransomed the world from sin. God imputes righteousness. That is, he reckons the repentant sinner to be righteous for the sake of the atoning sufferings and death of Christ. That is how hearts are purified for the life that now is and the life that is to come. How does all this connect with the purity of life of which Malachi and St. Paul and all the holy writers speak and which they urge upon Christian people? As it is the nature of the sun to shine, so also it is the nature of those who have been purified through Christ's blood to desire that their lives also be pure. However haltingly they strive to live in harmony with the imputed purity that is theirs, seeking to guard their minds, their mouths, and their members. It's what they do. So it is that Christian people honor their masters and the powers that be, honor their bodies, guard their speech, and care for the needy, These are not burdensome duties forced upon them, but duties in which they delight. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem, Malachi writes, will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and in former years. Let this purity from God dwell in your heart and mind in this Advent season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.